What's going on, everybody? You've got the Cardboard Coach here with your boy, Coach Co. And team, today we've got a very special guest on the podcast here today. We've got Craig 305. How are you doing today, man?
What's up, brother? I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm good. For those of you guys who don't know, Craig is like actually a really good friend of mine. So it's been wonderful to watch you grow in the space. And that's kind of why I really wanted to have you on. I have a lot of experts on. I have, you know, people who are like top of their field and talk, especially in the hobby. You know, recently we've had like Card Collector 2, Ryan on. We've had gentleman who was talking about CGC graded Sports Illustrated magazine. So like a lot of people who are experts in their field. And I think it'd be really cool to talk about someone who just came back into the hobby, you know, by choice, could have chosen anything and chose the hobby. I think that's a cool experience. Not to mention, I've been with you at events and just like seeing your face light up. It really helps provide perspective for someone who's like in the industry, in the hobby regularly, full time. You know what I mean? So I'm very excited to have you on. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, man. No, definitely. I feel like, you know, I give a different perspective because I'm not really biased, man. Like you even mentioned it one time when I was talking about tag and how awesome like grading is.
Yeah.
But probably not considering tag because they're not one of the major authenticators, but I think their slabs are amazing. And I'm just saying that just from, you know, design, different ways that I'm looking at things. PSA, of course, is amazing. And I've been dealing with PSA forever because before I did any of this stuff, I used to collect autographs, and autographs, PSA was still the standard then, you know, back there. Then you have the other ones like DSA and stuff, but if it wasn't PSA, like I didn't want to buy it. So I knew about PSA before they even got into the card grading business. But yeah, like I look at things, I feel completely different than someone that's diehard in the hobby and obviously does it for a business, you know?
Yeah. And like to your point, like I think that is so special, and it's like something that, it's a perspective that's often lost, especially because it depends on how someone enters the space. You know, they might have entered the space because they watched a video about like an expensive card being sold and they're like, oh my God, like PSA slab. Like, and yeah, man, like you know, you're so open to talking to tag and you're like, oh, these are really cool. Like genuinely, like you're like, oh, these are amazing. And you have no, you know, ties to any businesses. You're genuinely just like meeting the people and you're like, oh, that person at Leaf is like really cool. And I was like, man, this is great to be with someone who is just like completely unexposed to this space. So
yeah, I even have some Leaf cards myself. I got autographs. I got,
yeah. And you were going nuts for like the Heritage cards, right? Remember the Power Ranger cards at Heritage, like those are like Hasbro collab. Yeah, man, just so many cool things. So let's talk a little bit about your role. I mean, I should probably preface. So Craig is a photographer slash videographer. He's worked with a lot of big names, not in the card industry. I mean, recently in the card industry, but in outside of the industry. Do you want to talk a little bit about your background?
Yeah. So I've been doing photography my whole life. I think 2020 was when I really took it on full time because I had a lot, like at that time I used to own a printing business. I used to do printing for litigation. I used to do creative printing, t-shirts, all that stuff. And during 2020, obviously COVID happened. A lot of people went through some tough times besides, you know, me dealing with business, you know, tough times. I broke my arm at that time. I was dealing with a lot of stuff in my life that like kind of made me feel like you only have one life and you should try to chase what you love. And if you don't do that, you're always going to have that regret. And I kind of like literally just went deep and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try my hardest. And then if I don't make it or I don't do anything, at least I know that I tried to chase a passion of mine. So I started chasing photography and I've been blessed to work with a lot of celebrities. I've worked with FIBA. FIBA, a lot of people don't know, they're the ones that do the Olympics. They do a lot of stuff. I've run some photography for them for their basketball games. I've been working with even Adidas. I've done a lot of stuff that I honestly would have never thought I'd do. Not that I doubt myself, but it's just like the people that I've worked with, even with the celebrities and stuff like that, they're like people that I grew up like idolizing, and people that I was always a fan of. And people, I think, sometimes have fear in themselves to chase big dreams, and they don't realize that if you just chase something that you love, the doors start to drastically open for you that you would have never thought. And that's what just started happening with me. I was able to work with Rick Ross during his car show. I've been doing the car show from the first year. Shooting people like Machine Gun Kelly, that I would have never thought I shot. Ja Rule. Ja Rule actually is one of the coolest people I've ever met. The guy's hilarious. And have these relationships with people that I would have never thought. But going to the hobby, I've always been a collector my whole life. Like I started with Pokemon. Pokemon was one of them, I guess in the trading card industry, one of my first types of collecting. And then I moved on to, I did basketball. I've been doing Topps Chrome forever. I collect Funko Pops. A lot of people don't even know what those are. I have something I'll show you. Like these are, let me see if I can take off the blur. Me a second.
That's okay.
But basically, like these are figures that are rares as well, but are hard to find, and it's just something that like I'll take it off for you guys to see. This one's actually autographed by Stone Cold.
Oh, that's sick.
So yeah,
I'm glad you
so
took it off for
yeah, no, I
that.
wanted you guys to see it. So
I love that.
I definitely have like di different ones. Autographs, like I said, it was something that I was collecting from the beginning, but the Funkos kind of caught my eye during COVID, stuff like that, because it's amazing, stupid, because it's just a little figure, it's like a bobblehead. But this is one of the few companies that allows you to really express whatever you love, because
Yeah.
these guys have licenses for everything.
Yeah.
Like the other one I'll show you here, Star Wars. This one's signed by Hayden, and I met him. This is the one with, if anyone that's a Star Wars fan is gonna go crazy about this one, because this is when he has the yellow eyes, he's going crazy, and he literally wrote, "You underestimate my power." So these type of things.
So
To
wait, you got
me,
that inscribed?
yeah, he inscribed it for me. And it was
Ooh.
funny because in the line, this was a con that I did, one of my first cons.
Yeah.
The people that were doing it, they're like, "Hey, that's too long. He's not gonna write that." And I'm like, "All right, then I'm just gonna, talk to him and see what's up." And I told him, and he was super cool about it, So it's just, I feel like that right there is a perfect example. Never take no for an answer, and never be scared to like talk to, I talk to these celebrities and people that are, considered high statute as normal human beings. And I feel like that's the key. Like if you
Yeah.
talk to people you want to be treated and treat them that way and talk to them that way, you're gonna get that back. And I feel like I've been blessed to always get that back with people I deal with,
Yeah.
and perfect
Yeah.
example right there. Yeah,
I think
that
you're
Funko's funny from
you're spot
random.
on, man. Like, I think it's like you don't wanna you wanna be providing them with value too. Like these people, they provide value all the time, and they're like
Yeah.
in a one-on-one scenario, they're like, I don't really wanna be the person kind of pulling. And so if you kind of meet them on the same level and you're just like, instead of me asking you for anything really, like, let's just shoot
Yeah.
the shit. Let's just like be people together, like you end up fortifying relationships and really getting, some good stuff out of people, just like some genuine dialogue. And you get to really see these people for more than just what they are, behind screens typically.
Exactly.
I had no idea about the Funko stuff. I love that. Although it
Yeah.
doesn't surprise me. Yeah, man. So talk to me about the transition into the space. Like you said, you were going to cons before.
So yeah, so the
When
cons
did
is
that
something.
start?
Well, forever, like every time that there was a con around, at least in Miami, I would go. Miami doesn't really have huge ones, so I can't really say that they've been amazing. I've gone to a mega con in Orlando. Orlando does a better job with their cons. My dream is definitely to go to San Diego Comic Con or New York. That's definitely something that I have on the bucket list that I will do soon. And the good thing about those shows, especially like San Diego Comic Con, like if you're a collector, they have releases of everything that are so exclusive to that con, and they're so hard to get. And the Funkos, I've always gotten those because I knew people in California and stuff like that. So I would get like the ones specifically from there. So they'll have like the little sticker, stuff like that. And Funko is, it's a game of stickers, bro. That you can have the same Funko and it looks exactly the same as the other one, but the sticker is what people are chasing. So it's just like in the hobby, the type of grading.
Yeah.
Everybody prefers PSA, Like that with the Funkos, if you don't have that right sticker, people are not paying that same price. So I would chase those, and I just enjoyed going there. I love seeing people dress up. It's fun, man, you know. And then going with you now, like to the national to me, it's not that type of a vibe, but it is just as fun. And I feel like you get to see things that you've never seen ever, you know, like
Yeah,
crazy.
like talk to me about your first experience at the National.
That was awesome. I would have never thought that I'd see like Upper Deck with those crazy pieces that they had, you know, and the pop-ups that these people were doing, like Golden, seeing the Jordan cards at PSA. Like, it's definitely a place to go if you want to see one of a kind items that you probably will never see in your life, because unless you're purchasing them, like, this is not something that they're for sale anywhere. And
Yeah,
most of the
yeah.
time, they're from private collectors, so they're just displaying it.
Yeah.
That was a really cool thing to see, you know, and see all types of sports. Like, they were definitely very represented there.
You met Jason Page. You met
That
Gary
was
Vee.
Gary Vee. That was really an awesome experience, and he's such an awesome guy. But he's someone that I definitely have been a fan for a while, you know. And this is what I'm talking about, like, when you start to do things that you love, it's like the door starts to open up. So this opened up to a door of meeting someone that, you know, I've taken his advice for such a long time, and definitely got me through a lot of tough times with his positive messages. And to actually see him and have a conversation and you know, interview him is nuts. And the interviewing that I've been doing is just out of fun. You know, it's not like I'm here trying to be an interviewer or anything. It's just I'm there. I want to talk to the person, and that's why I do it. But yeah, it's been a blessing, man. It's been crazy.
Yeah, I think for me when it really clicked that like, man, this guy is just like such a just genuine sponge in this space right now is like when we were at the Fanatics event and you know, there was kids at the event, there was obviously adults and stuff and people are winning prizes and you see someone like win a prize come off a stage and be like, "Eh, whatever," you know? Like this is like how much is this really? I saw people looking up like prices on eBay and stuff for like what they just won. And I mean, I was with Amano and we looked and we were like, "Oh, that's Craig for sure." You were having a you were yelling, you're like, "Yeah, I won, I won." And, like we were all so happy for you. And it was just yeah, I think that was like one of the moments where I was like, okay, there's a lot of things that happen in this hobby that a lot of us take for granted every day, you know, much like the tag stuff and the, you know, sometimes, you know, even at CGC, like CGC was giving out free slabs and there was like people that were walk by like, "Oh no, thank you. I don't want that." And you're like, "Man, what are you talking about? Like this is like a CGC
Look,
card." Like,
I got some here, and you helped me get some of these too. I ended up getting them signed by Andy Friedman, so this was one of the ones from the National,
yeah.
Jason. And it's crazy. You see, look, from the National, and we go to New York, so I feel like things just connected.
Yeah,
This one, at this one, Aaron didn't even care about. He was talking smack about Cleveland, but yo, this is a memory for me, you know.
Yeah, of
So
course. It's literally the
I value these
National.
things, you know.
Yeah.
It might not be worth a lot to people, but to me, it's more about the memories and the moments, you know. And like these little things, it's like encapsulating those moments, you know. You're always gonna remember it, or hopefully you always remember it, but things like that just bring you back right there to that moment. So I always try to get little things. Like I know I told you from the beginning, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get like things from here because it's for that. It's not
Yeah.
that I'm looking for anything value wise. I'm just looking for things that are gonna bring me back to there, you know.
Yeah. And again, that's where like just like that genuine connection to like collecting is like there's just so much right now about like this card's up or this card's down, flip this card. What's the comp on this? Like, and there's room for that. I'm not saying that there's not, and it's a big part of the hobby these days, but like to just see someone go through, jump into the hobby again and just to truly be like a collector. And to a certain extent, just like hoard stuff is like actually really cool, you know? Talk to me
Yeah, for
about Fanatics.
sure.
Go for it. Yeah, keep going
Basically
at
a
it.
hoarder almost.
Where do you keep his stuff?
So I have I used to, when I had my own place before I had to grow, I had them everywhere. So my whole space was literally a freaking pop culture space. I had my autographs hung up, stuff like that. Definitely now when you live with someone, you try to, you know, balance things. So
Yeah.
I got like a closet that opens up, has all my rare ones, and then I got like a storage that I have them set up nice there. And when it comes to the Funkos, like I don't just keep them. Like I try to sell them too, but I try to sell to like maybe get me something that I like more, or
Yeah.
try to go up and get a more rare one, because some of these are really expensive. Like I have, let me show you this one. This is a doc that I just got recently, Dr. Brown from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
This is from Comic-Con, from I don't remember what year. It's an old one. This is like $1,000 pop, bro. So this is
Really?
yeah, these things are super rare. They're hard to find. So then what I try to do is, if I really like one, what I would do is I would try to buy two of them. I'm like, man, this one's really good. I know it'll probably go up at some point. And then I'll use that money that I make on the second one to try to get me a more rare one and try to break even at least, and
Yeah.
bring, you know, the
So you're not
cost.
always constantly putting money into it.
No. So I
Yeah.
try to do that. I try to trading is one of my favorite things. I'm not about money. So like what I would do a lot with the Funko is I would set up comic book stores around here, stuff like that. They'll let you set up a table. So it was like a mini con. And I'm the one that's always trading. So people come to my table and I'm so down to trade. So whatever they like. And usually my table has so one of the biggest collections, but there's stuff that most of them I already have. Or I don't want, you know, so like I'm so willing to trade for whatever. And I usually end up getting some really rare ones sometimes that if you would have bought it would have cost so much, but I didn't
Yeah.
get it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do. And I feel like that's a fun part of the hobby is like trying to chase these deals and these steals that kind of just bring some more excitement besides getting a piece that you really want, you know.
Yeah, or just like outright paying for something. Do you know
Yeah,
what I
instead of
mean? Because
outright
like,
paying, you make a deal.
yeah, because like a trade is pretty special because, you know, two people have to want something that
Yeah.
they that you know what I mean, they're like willing to part with something, and it actually means a little bit more to the other person. If we're not just talking strictly dollars and cents, like that actually becomes like a pretty cool transaction. We're like, I actually have too many of these, I want that, you
Yeah.
want this, like let's make a deal. So that's really cool.
In the trades, I feel like I've made way more in trades than in just a straight up cash, even if I do it for the value, because sometimes people like just don't want that, but they'd rather what you have. And they don't care about the price sometimes. Sometimes they're like, no, bro, like here, take this.
Yeah.
And I'll come up sometimes on some rare ones that I've always wanted that would have cost me so much, but
Sometimes it's a
people
matter of
don't want
convenience too, right? Like you
it.
don't
Exactly.
like there's so much to be said about having to like seek that thing out, and then maybe you're bidding on, like a lot of people don't want to go back and forth, and they're like, oh, I'm fighting with this guy on eBay to
Yeah.
finally get this thing. You hope you get it in the mail in good condition. Like there's just so
Exactly.
many
That's the
things that
biggest
come with
risk.
that too, right? Like
Yeah.
I imagine shipping Funkos must be a pain in the ass.
Well, I'm a master at it, so like it's not a big deal. So to me, it's you have to have the right size box, and then just, you know, don't be cheap on the bubble wrap and
Bubble
stuff.
wrap,
Like
yeah.
I am a collector, so I appreciate the box being in good condition. So I try to either put them in a, because Funkos have like their own like sleeves, I put them in
Yeah.
that too. I'll throw that in for the person that buys it because I'd rather them get it in perfect condition.
Yeah.
But some people just they'll throw it in there. But yeah, I've had times that I get some messed up, you know. And but that's the good thing about me, like I love it, so I'll out of box it. It doesn't have to be in the box for me. I have some that are out of box,
Really?
you know. Yeah, so I even have some rare ones that are out of box. So to me, I'm not like so picky on that. There's people that will never even touch on whatever, but
Well, you
I
wear
go ahead.
autographed jerseys, bro. Like,
Huh?
you
Yeah.
wear autographed jerseys. Like, and that's
That's what
another thing I
to me,
think.
that right there shows
Yeah.
you. That right
Yeah.
there shows you. And
Yeah.
that's something that people will probably think I'm crazy, but it's like I'm not trying to sell this. I don't care. Like this already is just my personal collection. And I don't wear it to show off or anything like that. I wear it because I enjoy it, and I want people to appreciate it as I walk. You know, they'll be like, oh damn, they come, they talk to me. This is signed. Where'd you get it signed? And we'll share, you know, a conversation there. But that just shows you right
Yeah.
there. Like I'm not really trying to just flip anything.
It's funny that there's like so many like unwritten rules you just break, you
Yeah,
know,
no, that a biggest
but
rule
you're
breaker
breaking
for
them
me.
because you don't care, right? You're like, you're just
Yeah.
in the space enjoying the space. And that's again why I really thought it was like kind of cool and refreshing to have you on, because a lot of the things that people are that you're saying right now are like making people cringe. And I'm
Yeah,
like,
for
well, why
sure.
does it make you cringe? It makes you cringe because he's like losing value, but like hit the value is in the ownership for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where the value is for you. It's not necessarily like a monetary, for instance. So I think that's really cool. You just came back from Fanatics Fest.
Yeah.
Again, first time. This is the first time they had a Fanatics Fest. You went from the National to Fanatics Fest. Talk to me as someone who is unbiased in the space, which one you liked more, and then talk to me about Fanatics Fest.
I'm just going to say it, not, you know, I don't want to step on anyone's toes.
That's okay.
Both of them, you know, but I enjoyed Fanatics Fest more because of the activities that they had. As a seller, I've talking to people and stuff like that. I don't think that they liked it that much because they felt that they were separated from
the event. Yeah, they kind of got like put in the corner, right?
Yeah. So it was basically like the whole trading session and cards, and then it was the event. I think Fanatics will do a better job trying to incorporate them together. You know, this is the first time, so I think it will get better. But as a person just going to the show and enjoying it, it was amazing. They had a UFC ring. Like, when did you ever get to go into a UFC ring? They had, you know, a million celebrities walking around. If you're an autograph collector like myself or someone that wants to just meet one of these people, I've never seen such a huge lineup of variety at one show, because the National does have a big show, big variety, but it's just sports.
Yeah,
this had wrestling, this had random celebrities. So like that was really cool for me to see. And you know, the spacing, like I don't know if it's going to be the same in every venue, but that thing was massive, man. All the activities that they had, like, you know, I don't know how many steps I put in that day, but the steps were high, man.
I was told there was no lineups for bathrooms or for food.
Yeah, because it was, at least in that venue, it was really spaced out. So like there's a lot of bathrooms at the National. It took a while, but that was it's also too, I don't know the count, but I definitely feel that maybe Nationals have more people, but Fanatics did have a lot of people. So it's hard to tell if it's the venue bigger or it's just an amount of people. Because, man, that Saturday at the National, man, that was a lot of people there. So, and even from the outside, you saw when we pulled up the line that went wrapped around the building. Crazy. It's a massive building. So
yeah,
I don't know the count on the people. So I don't know which one had more, but definitely it felt I feel like calmer at Fanatics Fest. But we'll see when they release numbers and really who had the most people and stuff like that.
What, you know, you talked about like the activation and activities, like what kind of stuff did you really gravitate towards?
So I'm a wrestling fan, so I definitely did the wrestling entrance. WWE does at their events, so I guess they incorporated it with them.
Yeah,
I did the UFC ring. That was awesome. And I really, you know, which in a lot of shows I feel like I don't have time to, but this one I tried to make time to the panels. But the panels at this show, it wasn't like in a secret room or anything. Like, it was like right in the center, and I thought that was really cool. So it's like you could pass by, see it a little bit, and then keep going, you know, and enjoy the show. And I definitely like that a lot about Fanatics. I'm not sure, the National didn't really have like any panels like that or anything, right?
No. So I think they had a few things. They had like activations downstairs in the VIP lounge. And then there's a few interviews going on at like the TikTok shop, like the podcast booth. But It was really, to my knowledge, nothing that was happening like out in the open. I think from what I've seen, the technology, you know, like the way that Fanatics incorporated technology was like definitely at like a higher scale than what we've seen at the National.
Yeah.
Because even with those panels, like there was like giant TV screens above and like anyone could watch that. Whereas like even if the National had everyone in the middle, I just don't know if they had the capacity to like make the audio work. And you know what I mean? There's like, not to say that they're incapable, but I think it really, and this is as someone who's like viewed Fanatics Fest entirely from the outside. It really just looks like an old school versus new school kind of thing.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're not the same show, right? Like one was very different than the other. One was like strictly sports cards and sports related memorabilia and you know, TCG, stuff like that. But the other one was very much about like entertainment, you know. The Fanatics Fest was kind of like about entertainment.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's hard to compare two shows. I thought it'd be interesting to talk to someone who like, again, was like completely unbiased about both and just like which one you gravitated towards, because you're way closer to like an everyday person than most people in this space. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Talk to me about like videography in the space. So, you know, how did you decide that you wanted to start filming in the hobby?
Oh, okay. So that just goes back to doing what you love. So since this is something that I love, I was like, man, maybe I should just, team up with some of the guys that constantly need videography, help them elevate and still being out in the space. So now it's like I'm there, I'm helping someone else do something that they need. And then I'm still doing what I love in photography and videography, but now I'm doing it in an area that is something completely different, but it's something that I really enjoy. So I get to walk around and make some purchases myself. Get to meet people like the Gary Vee interview. I even got to interview Michael Rubin and ask him about, future shows. So it's like it kind of allows me to do other things that I enjoy at the same time as doing the camera work, and that's awesome. So that's why I feel like I kind of went towards that. But it pretty for me pretty much started with Hobby Slam. Hobby Slam, they do a great job out there, and they were one of the first ones that like reached out, and they're like, look, like we want you, we want to have great content, we really want to invest in this. And I feel like the hobby influencers and car shops and everyone is starting to realize like, we need to elevate our content. We need to have someone there like how these celebrities have, but for us, and help us capture these moments that are irreplaceable. Like these type of moments happen quick, and that's something that I feel like I pride myself in, is I like to capture things candid. So I'm there constantly trying to record, constantly trying to shoot. And I feel like that's something that people really need, especially in a growing space like this.
Yeah, it's funny. Once I realized that, I've been like yelling it from the rooftops, like especially when it comes to like card shop owners or like big events coming up, like Topps Hobby Rip Night's coming in a few weeks, and I've been speaking to a lot of friends that are shop owners, and I'm like, there is no reason why you shouldn't have a videographer there the entire time, because there's gonna be so many special moments that take place between like, mother son, father daughter, father, father son, like brother and like the two brothers, just like shopkeeper, and there's so many quality moments that are gonna take place. And it's not saying that you can't have these quality moments take place without a camera, but you kind of want that. That's I think you do an amazing job of really showing what's going on, and that's something that people don't really take into account. When they're like, when they're holding a camera, for instance, you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna record this moment. But I think you have a really good job of framing and kind of like painting the picture. And that's something that videographers and photographers do, especially if they're really good. They do without even really thinking too much. Do you know what I mean? It's something that the average person can't even really fathom until they see the difference and they're like, wow, like just like even point of views and stuff. 'Cause like that changes the entire complexion of a shot, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. But to
So
even to that point, something that I feel like someone like myself, like I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like I find moments sometimes that the person that I'm working with might not see because
yeah.
they're so into that moment or busy that I'm able to like direct them. So I'm look, this is gonna happen right now. Let's do this. And I feel like you need that help. There's only so much that you could do by yourself if you're doing it with your phone or whatever, that you miss out on stuff. And if you don't have someone constantly with you, you're really missing out. And I understand, there could be budget, there could be something that you can't really like afford it. That money is gonna come back 10 times more for you. It's basically an investment to yourself. And if you up your quality, you're gonna start getting brand deals, you're gonna start getting shops, people that wanna work with you just because of the stuff that they're seeing. So whatever you're spending on that camera person, you're gonna get that back 10 times. Like you gotta look at it as an investment to yourself. Don't feel like you have to do it yourself just to try to save some money. Maybe in the beginning, obviously some people have to do that, but once they see like, okay, man, maybe if I can invest just maybe not the full day, but if I have a guy half a day, that half a day is going to be something that you're going to have for months of content. You're going to capture so much things.
I agree with you. I think, and it's hard because especially with a business, you think very much in like ROI, right? And like, does this directly bring me, we like tying things directly to a specific moments, or this link got us X amount of money, whatever the case may be. And I think especially in this day and age with social media and building brand, I think there's just a lot that we haven't quite figured out in terms of like how to translate that financially, because like building brand is integral, but there's also not really an ROI. Like it just takes time and it takes like a lot of quality and a lot of value. And if you kind of combine all those things for a large period of time, like all of a sudden you kind of that ROI naturally comes. Do you know what I mean? So I think, you know, if anyone out there is scared of taking the leap and you know, investing in a photographer or videographer for a special event they have coming up, or you know, they have a trade night or a games night, or they're gonna be heading up a show, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever the moments they think that they want to capture, like I can definitely tell you that it changes everything. It changes everything. It allows you to kind of be as the person that's being shot even. It allows you to kind of focus on those like interactions instead of like trying to find the shots.
And be
You can
yourself,
be
really.
very genuine with everyone instead of having to worry about like, okay, I need content, or I need a shot, or I need to pull out my phone and I need to start recording, or hey, can you record me while I'm doing, you know, like it just becomes very kind of cumbersome, and you're wasting a lot of energy by doing that versus having someone who knows what they're doing, is very good at what they're doing. And is able to tell the perfect story, right? Find those moments that you're not able to see. So, yeah,
Like
man.
even, speaking with us. I feel like I become, at least myself as a cameraman, I don't know if everyone does this, but I become a representative of my client. So I'm there trying to represent them and make them look good. So like, remember when we were doing the B-roll for the Tops, the opening, I was like, let's stick around and see if we can get someone. And I'm already talking to a person. I'm like, hey, look, this is Coach. He's in the space. I give him a background already on you. So I'm in front of you, I'm re representing you. And then now we have a video to happen because
And that was
I'm
one of the best videos we got, right? So,
Yeah, no, that one, the one of the boy from Miami with the Wemby, and that was someone that we weren't even together. We were completely different spots. I think I was gonna go grab some food or something, and I just meet this guy. He came to me with the Heat jersey, see the signs. So it's just like I feel like sometimes things are kind of
All kind of comes together. You wearing the
and then
autographed
he's telling
jersey,
me
you know what I
this.
mean?
I immediately was like, hey, I'm here with Coach. Like, you need to talk about this. Let's get you together. And the guy was like so happy about that. Probably never, like you saw, he never thought he'd get an interview. And to me, like that's the best part about it. Like just making these special moments happen for people. I'm helping my client. I'm making someone happy. Like to me, that's priceless. Like that's why I do it for that, just to make other people happy, not just myself. And at the same time, I'm blessed that it's making me happy as well because it's something that I love, you know?
I mean, obviously, I hope that people can kind of feel your passion. I felt it from the minute I met you, so I love it. Greg, brother, if anyone's looking to book you, they're convinced that they've you know, they've heard how passionate you are in the space and just like how you are as a human being. And maybe they want to sell you Funkos. Like, where can they reach out to you?
Hit me up. They can hit me up on Instagram. Instagram is my main platform. I'm on TikTok everywhere as well. It's Craig 305 with a K, Kraig 305. I know they're gonna go on my page and they're gonna be like, damn, this guy is, too high up for me. No way that he's gonna work with me. I'm willing to work with anybody. I work with any budget. I love what I do, so I'm not here trying to become a millionaire off one client. I'm more about building relationships, building long, relationships between me and my clients. So it's not really just about making money for me. It's more about creating and helping other people elevate as well.
Love that, man. Team Craig 305 on all platforms. I'll make sure to tag him in the description. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Cardboard Coach. I know I did. That Craig, man, appreciate you coming through.
The boy Tony is gonna sign out.
I love it. Team, follow Craig, check out his stuff. Appreciate you. Have a good one, everybody. Coach Co and Craig 305 are out of here. Peace.